Think about what was in the heart of the author before he realized that truly Jesus had been raised from the dead. This is from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. I brought it in the Amplified, but whatever you have, you certainly can read your own, or it may be right there upon the board. And it says, "Blessed, gratefully praised and adored, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant and boundless mercy has caused us to be born again. That is to be reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, to an everlasting hope and confident assurance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." When we go back and read the resurrection account in one of the Gospels this morning, you're going to see that everyone seemed to be hiding in fear because they were afraid that what happened to Jesus was going to happen to them, and that included his disciples. And when you see, now you see Peter writing this, and he said that we have this hope given again. You see, it looked like all hope was lost in the moment. And they weren't saved yet. They weren't born again. They didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And when they saw what happened to Jesus, he saw them put him in the tomb. And for 3 days, can you imagine what was going through their minds? I would be wondering, boy, I don't know if I want to follow this guy or not. They killed him and now they're coming for us. And the fear and the worry and the anxiety, because when you read the accounts of the gospel, you don't see at the time they really understood what he was talking about when he said, "In 3 days I will rise again." Well, the third day, he did. But in the beginning, that period of time, it's one thing to say you believe it, but then when the one that you're following is dead, by all definitions of dead, the scriptures tell us that they were hiding in fear. And I oftentimes try to insert myself, like, what if I were one of the bystanders, or what if I were one of the ones there, because I'm one of the ones now that believed. But you see, we can look back and see the story. We can look back and read it, and we will. But at the time, those scriptures of the New Covenant were not written yet. They had the old that foretold, but without the Spirit to give you revelation, it's almost impossible to know these things. He has caused us to be born again. To be born again. Who would like to explain that? Somebody got a simple explanation for what it means to be born again? Yes, this might be the only time you'll hear this message this week. I'm giving you a chance. Any preachers in the house? Don't say I don't use people, because I like to call on different ones to be a part of this. The scriptures tell us that when we all come together, every one of us has a teaching, a doctrine, a hymn, a song, a testimony. Because if you don't want to do it, I'll do it. To be born again. Oh, so quiet.
Jesus was born. For us to be born again means we're reborn in the Spirit.
Okay.
All our sins are gone. We're forgiven. And because of the fact that he lives, we're born again. And we can have that eternal hope. because he was risen. If he wasn't risen, if he hadn't gone to the cross, if it wasn't true, like some secular groups say it isn't, then we wouldn't have that eternal hope. But because we're born again, and Jesus has risen from the dead, we can have that eternal hope that we will be with him up there in heaven.
You mean we're going to get to live in heaven if we believe in Jesus?
Yeah.
Anybody want to go there?
Yeah.
Yeah? Wow, that's pretty awesome. How many of you believe that? Yeah? How many are about to? You know, oftentimes we think we can earn our way. Well, I'm a good person. I never murdered anybody. I didn't rob the Jiffy Mart. I didn't run over anybody with my car. I didn't do any of those bad things. I'm a good person. But you see, when we're born of Adam's sin, the sin nature of Adam. And we cannot save ourselves. So if you came today and you really, because it's Easter, let this be a day that you'll better understand why we celebrate it. Eternal life couldn't happen if Jesus first didn't come and die for each of us. And think of the worst thing you ever did. Don't meditate on it too long, but you know, just think about the worst thing you ever did. Would you have a problem with letting Jesus' blood be enough to remove that from your life and give you the hope of a new life, not bound by our past? Because we cannot let our past screw up our future. Our past is the past. Even car manufacturers know that. The rear view mirror is a whole lot smaller than the windshield. And we have a bright and glorious hope. The world looks like it's going to hell in a handbasket, literally. But you know, if that happens, I'd rather go saved than to go unsaved. Because there's eternal death too. And so I would just encourage any of you today, if you've never allowed Jesus to be the Lord of your life, this is a great day. Angie testified of a person that just got baptized today, or is going to be. And we don't do that to be saved. We do it because we got saved. And water baptism is an outward witness of an inner conviction of the heart that I believe in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We confess it with our mouths. What we speak is what we say that we believe. And the miracle of the new birth happens. It could happen for you today if you want it to. All during the day you're here, you can just say, Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. And it really is that easy. It may not be easy for you to come to that point to want to say that. Because you know what it's going to cost? It's going to cost your life. We have to die to the old man, but live in the new man in Christ. And when Peter talked about, again, that word is really key, because Peter was one of the many that followed Jesus. And then when Jesus was crucified, they looked temporarily like they'd lost their hope. They'd lost hope. But when he knew and he saw and believed that Jesus had indeed been raised from the dead, we have that hope. Peter said again, meaning he lost it once, but he weren't going to lose it the second time. And you have no need of being people that don't have any hope. Don't look to the world to give us hope. Don't look to them to give us peace. But look to Jesus to give you both peace and joy. Did you know that the joy of the Lord is your strength? When all else is falling apart, praise the Lord. That's the best time. It is the most difficult time. Because we like to sometimes get into a pity party and, you know, invite all our friends, me, myself, and I, and then it's, those are party crashers. Entertain the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We'll read the biblical account from the Gospel of John. The other three have it as well. But my preference today was John, and since I'm bringing that message, I believe the Lord gave me grace to pick whichever one I'd use, because they all say the same thing.
Amen.
You can't find any contradictions. A lot of times at this time of the year, people are looking for a new word, a new message, because sometimes they just get tired of hearing the same old thing. I don't struggle with that, because there isn't a new message. What we have is the Word of God that gives us the account. And I'm going to read to you today the entire chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 20. But don't concern yourselves, there's only 31 verses. But just listen. Father, as we read your holy word this morning, may our hearts be attentive to your words. May our spirit be open to hear the truth of the ministry of Jesus, who he is, why he came, what he accomplished, and the beautiful hope and future that he gives us. And we thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things I liked about the Gospel of John is the fact that he was extremely intuitive and had a really wonderful revelation of the love of the Father. Others wrote in their gifted areas, but John wrote, and he called himself the one whom Jesus loved. Like, he didn't love anybody else but John he loved. And so, as I read this, you may pick up on that a couple places where he made that reference. But chapter 20 in the Gospel of John is the account of the resurrection. And you won't find a truer account than you will from the scriptures. So the first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and see the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth out and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John. And said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and saw the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, and lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have taken him, or where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, and unto my brethren, or go unto my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whomsoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. There came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither your finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither your hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. And many other signs truly did Jesus to the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. There are a lot of places that I could stop. You have no idea how difficult it is for me to pick up and read a whole chapter and not stop along the way. Because every verse, there's a nugget. But it shows you, even the people that walked with Jesus for the 3.5 years of his earthly ministry, they heard him teach. They heard him prepare for the day that he would no longer be with them. But they didn't really understand what he was talking about, and he tried to teach them in parables. And even Jesus, can we go with you? And he says, no, you can't go with me where I go. And they just lacked understanding. It's really hard to illustrate a spiritual truth with a physical understanding and being able to express it in words that they could. We're pretty much born of the Spirit in this place, and we can understand this pretty clearly. But it's the account of the day that he was raised from the dead. It's the account of going to the tomb and finding it open and the stone so huge that it would be almost impossible for a person to move that stone and remove his body. But yet, even Mary Magdalene, out of seven demons Jesus cast out of her, and she loved him for the delivering power and his love for her that he showed her. And even she was hard to believe. She was thinking, where did they take him? Because it's almost like they weren't expecting to find him alive. It had been 3 days. And nobody said anything. Nobody saw anything. Nobody knew anything. There's a 3-day waiting period. And I wonder, too, if we had been there and not saved, not knowing, not understanding, not being able to understand, would we also have maybe thought the same thing? When it looked hopeless earlier in the week, and then the first day of the week came, and Jesus was no longer dead, he was alive. Hope was restored. It's terrible to have no hope. I used to have a saying, there's hope with dope, with booze you lose. Because I didn't have any until I got saved. And then every day I was so happy, and more than happy, I was joy-filled to know that Jesus was alive and that all of this happened 2,000 years ago. And it wasn't like I had to wait for something to happen. I look back now at the cross and see that it already did, and the benefits of it were for me. And I did like what most wise people today would think. I did a very foolish thing. I decided to believe this. And in my unsaved mind, I thought, wow, if I didn't really know this was true, this was the greatest fairy tale ever told to man. Because everybody likes to believe in fairy tales, but this is the truth. And I had to accept it as the truth, because just like they did, once they knew, once they accepted him as their Lord and as their Savior and as their God, their lives changed forever. And those few followers that followed him literally changed the world forever. It gave the world hope. And every nation, some aren't ruled by very godly leaders. And we can't put our hope in politicians, you know that. You got to consider the source. But you know, Jesus offers us the greatest hope, the greatest quality of life. When was the last time that you really felt at peace? Do you ever feel worried? Do you ever feel afraid? What about your kids and your grandkids, the world that they're coming into? You know, my generation, some of us have been around quite a while. But this message is also for them. And what will you as parents or grandparents offer them for hope for them? My desire is that you would be faithful to share this account with them. Teach them who Jesus is. And don't just blow this off as another day that I'll go to church because it's a few months out from Christmas. Don't be a Christmas goer and an Easter goer. Be faithful to the Lord and live for him every day the best that you know how. And receive every day when you get up a hope for today. And you know, the neat thing about being a Christian is you have hope for tomorrow too. And you have hope for all eternity. And this is a message of hope. It's a message of joy. It's good news. No matter what network you watch for your news, Jesus is the Good News Network. I fly TransJesus Airlines. Every time I travel and I fly, it's TransJesus Airlines, because I thank God for every nut and bolt and rivet. I thank Him for every mechanic, for all the flight attendants, for the flight crew, everything possible. When I fly, I know it's the safest plane in the sky. I don't have fears anymore. I don't have worries anymore. I don't have concerns anymore. It doesn't mean I don't care. I just don't let the cares get in here. Because my hope is a living hope. And so is yours if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus. And I can't see the Easter message ever changing. Someone would really have to alter it badly. National Geographic and the History Channel do that. They always leave him in the grave. I've watched their accounts over and over just to say, oh, hey, he's not in there. Some question which grave he was buried in, but it don't make any difference. He's not in any of them. He's alive. And you know what? The Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. He's praying for you. If you can't find anybody else to pray with you today, know that Jesus has already been praying for you. And you know what? God always hears Jesus' prayers. But let's get real. He hears yours too. But don't be like Thomas. Don't wait until you see it. You believe when you hear it. And then your prayers will become prayers of thanksgiving and joy and gladness.
The best story I read about heaven and everything was about a couple of weeks ago. I went to a good friend's funeral. His name was Paul Blow at the Durban Chapel. Pastor Steve Aldridge gave a direct message. And he talked about someone who was famous. He was a famous writer. His mother passed away, and he thought about heaven. And then last night, I got to watch the last Billy Graham thing that he did before he died. And they showed his funeral and everything, and they showed the cross. They showed the cross being made. And Billy Graham said this. He said that when I get to heaven, first thing I'm going to do is thank my Father for dying on the cross and rising again.
Yes.
So if we can remember this Easter, to remember that He is risen, and He's risen indeed, that is the true meaning of Easter. It's not bunny rabbit. It's not flowers. It's not anything like that. It's Jesus rising from the dead. And He is risen indeed. I don't know about you, but I am praising my Savior for that day when I get to heaven and thank my Lord for rising for me.
Amen. That's our glorious hope. A couple other things I want to just pull out here. Verses 21, 22, and 23, some things that Jesus said to His disciples, and if you're a follower of Him, these things are for you as well. But He said, peace unto you. The turmoil was over because they had seen Him and knew that He was raised from the dead, and now they had peace again. It would be like suddenly your best friend disappears in a horrible way and you think the worst. But when He showed up and said, peace. Oh, and you got to also understand, they were inside a locked room. How did He do that? You know, Jim talked about Houdini, but I'll tell you, when Jesus manifests right through solid walls, because a physical building cannot contain, can withhold a spiritual body, spiritual matter passes through, and Jesus was in their midst. But He said a couple things. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Each one of us as disciples of Christ have the same message that we're to share with others, whether it's here collectively or individually as you have opportunity. this message of salvation. And then he said, when he had said this, he breathed on him and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You see, up to that point, he kept talking about it being a future event. Well, this was the future event that he talked about in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. And he introduced the Holy Spirit to them and talked some of what the ministry of the Spirit would do. And it's the Spirit of God that gives us life. And if you remember going back to Genesis, God breathed a breath of life into Adam's nostrils, the first Adam. But the second Adam, the Spirit, was poured out. And that is when Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Spiritual life came to them. And I believe that's actually when they were born again. And then he gave them a commission. And this is important. This is relevant to today. Whosoever sins, you remit, they are remitted. Or whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. And those that you hold on to are being withheld wrongly from those who don't deserve forgiveness. But Jesus said, you do the same as I did. You love as I love. You forgive as I love and forgive. And so forgiveness is a really big thing. And Jesus was chastised very strongly by the Pharisees and said, only God can forgive sins. Who are you? Well, I can tell you today that they might be saying the same thing about you. Who gave you the right to forgive? Well, here it is right here. So if there's anybody irking you, bugging you, wronged you, tormented you, hurt you, do what Jesus told you to do and forgive them. You now have the power. You have the authority to forgive others. And only God had that authority before. And Jesus gave you that. So don't let people keep you in a bad place with forgiveness. Forgive quickly. Don't let it fester. Don't let it get down inside of you and keep you from your joy and from your victory in life. There's so much more in here. This is just barely scratching it. But those two things, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to live out our faith. And always remember to forgive. Keep a short account. Are we going to be wrong? Yep. Are we going to be somebody's doormat once in a while? Yep. People going to take advantage? Yep. But what do? You forgive them and you let it go. Don't just pretend and go through the motions. When you forgive, it's over with. It doesn't mean what they did was right. It's not a license to have them continue that. But what it does is it frees you. It frees you from hanging on and being dragged into the same ditch they're in. When you forgive, that's really powerful. That's kind of almost like when you're the most like the Lord, when you love a person enough to forgive them all the wrongdoing, because that's what he did for us. So today, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. We know there's so much more to this message. And when we read the scriptures, there's so much more that we could talk about, we could share. But today, we thank you for the one message, that Jesus Christ is alive, that he overcame death, hell, and the grave, and he's seated at your right hand with the glory that he had before his mission to earth to save lost mankind. And today, once again, if there's anyone among us who has not recognized this, has not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I thank you that today you'll consider this. Your whole future depends on it. Your very life depends on it. It's the most important decision that you will ever make. And so I ask you, will today be the day for you? Father, thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that moves and ministers among us, touching our hearts and bringing us into remembrance, not only of our salvation experience, but also this message of truth from the eternal and all truthful Word of God. And we thank you today. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. And when we're there with you, we'll continue to thank you for loving us and for giving your life for us and for giving us new life in Jesus' name. Amen.